para the pachorio ol sutera sutta shi.
Shima.
How is it now?
So, Shima is the Bhagavad Gita, Janana, Aravata, Vananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Kijaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijaya. Ananda Koti, Vaishnav, Vrindi, Kijaya, Namacharya, Srila Vedas, Thakur, Kijaya. Friends, say, Gaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Dvaita, Garadha, Sri Vasudeva, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrindi, Kijaya. Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopikopatna, Shayam Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan, Kijaya, Vrindavan. Jagannatha Swami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimani Lassi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Hari. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Maho Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Buddha, Srimadha Bhakta Vedanta Swami, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachani, Nibhasesha, Shunyavadi, Paschachate, Shatari, Saomagana, Timidandasha, Gadanjana, Shlokaya, Chakshura, Unmiritam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Guru Namaha. Okay, so it's good to see everybody here. So, as I promised last night, after we told the story about Narada Muni looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I said that I would tell, or at least try, to give a brief overview of the second half of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the story of Gopal Kumar, which is a famous story. And just a little information about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a literature written by Sanatana Goswami, which is the foundational literature of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, because it details the whole Siddhanta of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism in terms of stories, that is. So it's very easy to digest stories. And this is a tradition in our Vaishnava Sampradaya to tell the philosophy in terms of stories. Particularly I'm thinking of the great Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote his Jiva Dharma. Anyone here has read the Jiva Dharma? No one. Anyway, one person. Where the Jiva Dharma actually deals with every aspect of Krishna consciousness, the Dashamula, which is the 10 basic principles of Krishna consciousness, the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how to achieve devotional service, and Bandha Abhideya Prayojana. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita deals with this too in a little bit different way, in a different angle of vision. So this is a Vaishnava tradition to tell the philosophy in terms of stories. And in the Bhagavatam, anyone has read the Bhagavatam? Has anyone read the Bhagavatam? Yeah. Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Good, okay, Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a very interesting literature. It has a lot of philosophy, but what they have is stories, and then all of a sudden in the story, the persons in the story will break into prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is really interesting. Like, for example, one part of the Bhagavatam we're reading now in North Carolina is the story of the Govardhan Puja story. And in the Govardhan Puja story, of course, you have this nice person, Indra, who's trying to kill everybody in Vrindavan. Nice, nice idea. And then he realizes, because Krishna lives Govardhan Hill, that it's not a practical endeavor. And he realizes he made a big mistake, made some big offenses. And then he goes on for a chapter or two offering prayers. So the Bhagavatam is quite nicely arranged in that way, that you have the stories, you get really interested, and then you get into these prayers that detail the very essence of devotional service. So the same thing with the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita is based on stories within a story, particularly the story of Maharaj Parikshit talking to his brother Uttara, And as you all know, Maharaj Pariksit was cursed to die in 7 days by a snake bird, Takshaka. And what happened is that he just heard the Bhagavatam in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He has just finished the Bhagavatam hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, and he's getting ready to go back to Godhead to be bitten by the snake bird. And so just after he finishes, his mother comes and says, "Tell me everything you learned in 7 days, but you only have a few seconds." So, just like when we went to the university, sometimes instead of reading a whole book, a technical book, we got these notes. They're called Cliff's Notes. Anyone's heard of that before? Which is a summary of the books. You didn't have to read a darn thing, and you could just do well in the course. So, so his mother basically wants, I mean, this is, I don't know if you all know what Cliff's Notes is, but it's summary of a particular book. Like, I remember I was going to the university and I was supposed to read this one book by James Joyce, Ulysses. Anyone's ever read that book? No. It's a very complicated, stream of conscious book. It's a really ridiculous book. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And I thought, I started reading and I said, I can't do this. This is a whole bunch of garbage. There's no Krishna here at all. And so I picked up the summary and I did, got an A in the course. So I never read the book. It's not cheating, it's just intelligence. So therefore, Uttara Maharaj Pariksit's mother says, please tell me everything you learned in a few seconds, you know, a few minutes or hours or whatever it is, until he was ready to leave the world. And so he told her everything that the Bhagavatam explained, basically in two stories. One story we told last night of Narada Muni looking for the best devotee of the Lord, and the story we're going to tell tonight, partially because it's a longer story, is a particular devotee of the Lord looking to realize his position in relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that devotee is Gopal Kumar. It's the famous story, the Gopal Kumar story. He was born in Vrindavan. A coward boy was born in Vrindavan. So let's start with the story, and I'm going to tell it real quickly, so hopefully you can follow my train of consciousness, stream of consciousness, as I tell the story. So it's going to go quickly, and I'm going to try to explain things as far as possible. So the story, it doesn't start with Gopal Kumar. It actually starts with a Brahmin. And this Brahmin, he's a very poor Brahmin, but he's a greedy Brahmin. You ever run into a greedy Brahmin? Anyone's been to Vrindavan? Yeah. Greedy Brahmin. You know, I go around Govardhan and the Brahmins say, donation. Brahmin donation. And what do? I pull out my cape and I say, sannyasi. Sannyasi donation. And then they leave me alone. So anyways. So
they can also curse you.
No, they never curse me.
No, I said they. If you don't give them.
No, because you have to know how to deal with them. If you're actually mean, but if you joke with them, they never curse you. Because the Vrajabhasis are very sweet people. So, they curse you if you actually don't deal with them. So this Brahmin, he was very poor. And you contrast this with Sudama Brahmin, who was very poor, but he wasn't greedy. He was just thinking, you know, let me visit Krishna just to see Krishna. He wasn't thinking, let me visit Krishna to get something from Krishna. He wasn't like many people we know who go to Krishna to say, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari, Swami Jai Jagadisha Hari, give me wealth to me, make my wife kind to me, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. You've ever heard that song before?
Yeah.
So Dhamma Brahman went to Krishna and he wanted to just associate with his old friend, buddy, Krishna. And Krishna gave him everything. When he got home, he had a house with a swimming pool and a new car and everything in the driveway. Anyway, I'm making it in modern terms. Modern terms. So anyway, so this Brahmin, he was very greedy and he wanted money. So naturally, you know, people who want money, they worship the demigods because quickly they get the results, Bhagavad Gita tells us. So he worshiped Durga. Kamakya, and Durga, of course, is an expansion of the internal energy of the Lord. She's Mahamaya, and there's Yogamaya, the internal energy. But she was very intelligent. She gave him a mantra that would make him detach from this world. And it was like called the Gopo mantra. And I'm not going to give you that mantra because we don't want you all to get detached. Because you wouldn't be able to go over anyone's home then if you were all detached. Sannyasis want everyone to be rich so they can visit their homes, right? So anyway, so that's why I'm not going to give you the mantra.
Conflict of interest.
It's a conflict of interest. Yeah, what can I say? I have a conflict of interest. You know, you should recuse me from this position. So he didn't really understand what the mantra meant, but he was told, you chant this mantra and you'll be happy, and he thought happiness means money. So he began to chant the mantra, and I'm not going to tell you everything he went through, because he went to Kashi and saw sannyasis, and he was thinking, maybe I should take sannyas. But he gradually became detached from everything. And after a whole bunch of different experiences, Lord Shiva tells him, you go to Mathura, Vrindavan. And so he goes to Mathura, Vrindavan, and then he enters into this place called Keshigat. Keshigat is where Krishna killed the Keshi demon. He stuck his fist in the Keshi demon's and the horse demon's mouth, and the demon died. And in Keshigat, he heard someone crying, and it was a little boy, you know, beautiful boy. And he first thought the boy was the deity of his mantra, the Gopal mantra, which he was chanting. Gopal means the coward boy. Like that, Krishna's called Govinda, Gopal. Does anyone know who gave Krishna the name Govinda?
Indra.
That was part of his apology. You can have the name Govinda. So, of course, that's his eternal name, but sometimes it appears that Krishna's getting something like the Sudarshan Chakra from Agni just for the pastime's sake. So, Gopal Kumar tells him, no, I'm a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm going to tell you about how I came to Krishna consciousness. And, you know, fast forward in this story, and we're going to go back to this part of the story, is that Gopal Kumar was actually sent by Radharani, because he was a pure devotee in the spiritual world, and Gopal Kumar had the ability to travel from the material world to the spiritual world. You know, he commuted, like you all commute to work every day. So he would commute from spiritual world to material world to preach Krishna consciousness. So here is someone in the spiritual world who's being sent by Radharani, and, you know, look at us with Prabhupada. Prabhupada is in the spiritual world, and he tells the story that Krishna said, you have to come down to this world to write some books about me. And Prabhupada said, what, me go to that horrible place? And Krishna said, no, you have to go to that horrible place. And that's why we're here right now, because Prabhupada came to this place. Like that. And of course, a pure devotee of the Lord, Narayana Paraksarve Nakutasjana Bhivdi Swarga Pavarga Naraki Shiva Pituliyarta Darshana. For a pure devotee, it doesn't matter whether he's in heaven, hell, or in the spiritual world, because he's engaged in loving exchanges, because his happiness, Yayatma Supersedite Savaipum Savampara Dharma, is actually coming from the loving exchanges. Many of you want to go to the spiritual world because you just want the desire cows there with all varieties of ice cream, you know. Like a fancy version of Baskin-Robbins ice cream or something like that. You ever heard of that before? You know, Baskin-Robbins ice cream, so many different flavors.
They have one
for Vrindavan. They have one
for Vrindavan? Next to the temple.
That's crazy. Vajra Vego, Manasuka Jiva Vego. Anyway, so you got to conquer the tongue. So many people, they think, I want to go back to Godhead. Why do I want to go back to Godhead? So I'll have no more birth, death, disease, and old age. I want to go back to Godhead so I can have anything I want from the desire cows, milk, cheese, butter, you know, whatever like that. Desire trees, Chintamani. Wow, this is a cool place. So then, in other words, to them, it's like better than Disneyland or better than Hawaii, for those who live in California. So. But that's not the reason. Actually, a devotee simply wants mama janmani janmani shre bhavata bhakti ahaita bhitwaye. because it's the love he wants. He wants to serve Krishna in love. Therefore, it's described in the Ekta Nectar Devotion, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, that a devotee doesn't even aspire after the four types of Vaishnava liberation. You know, living on the same planet as the Lord, or having similar form to the Lord, the same opulences, or associating with the Supreme. The devotee is inspired. If Krishna gives him these things, he says, okay, I'll do it. But he simply wants to serve Krishna wherever Krishna wants him to serve. So this is actually the reason why someone becomes a pure devotee, because they simply want to please Krishna. Now in the beginning, I'll probably never get into the story because I'm actually getting into philosophy, but anyway, in the beginning, Prabhupada actually encouraged us to want to go back to Godhead, because he understood, according to the Bhagavad Gita, that four types of people come to Krishna. People are looking for wealth, people are in distress, people are inquisitive, and people are looking for knowledge. So Krishna understands that. So in the beginning, don't be embarrassed if you came here because you were just looking for prasadam. And you're just waiting for me to finish so you can fill your belly. So don't be embarrassed about that. Just be honest, you know, and say, you know, this is. I remember the first time I walked into the Hare Krishna temple, I had to sit through a really boring class. But I thought this is my payment for eating later on. You know, because I was too embarrassed just to come to eat. Nowadays, people are more advanced, they just come to eat without going to the class, isn't it? So anyway, so that's Gopakumara's position. He's a pure devotee, but he just does whatever Radharani and Krishna want him to do. He's a coward boy, but he's serving Radharani, which is really interesting. Because all the residents in Braj, they serve Radharani. She's the queen. Radha Vrindavaneshwari, isn't it? The queen of Vrindavan. Vrindavaneshwari. So they also, even Krishna serves her. Even Krishna bows down at her feet. Nice music. Even Krishna bows down at her feet. She gets angry at him and Krishna just starts crying, isn't it? And please forgive me. So Krishna is controlled by her. Radharani's Madan Mohan Mohini. She bewilders and controls even the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So, anyway, so that's Vrindavan. Everyone is just trying to please Radha and Krishna. So, let's get to the story, which I'm trying to get to. So, what happened is Gopakumar wants to tell this devotee, who's not quite realized yet that he's a devotee. And actually, a pure devotee sees everybody as a devotee. But he sees that everyone has amnesia and needs to be reminded. And sometimes the best way to teach someone about Krishna consciousness is to tell them the story about how you came to Krishna consciousness. I mean, people ask that story all the time, you know, how did you come, Maharaj, to Krishna consciousness? You know, my story is I just heard Prabhupada chanting on the radio, and as soon as I heard Prabhupada chanting on the radio in 1968 or 69, whatever it was, then my whole life changed. Wow. So that's how I came to Krishna consciousness. And then after I finished in university, I was driving a taxi because I didn't want to work a job. And then one of the taxi drivers gave me a Krishna book, and that's how I came to Krishna consciousness. Simple story. It's not like the book Journey Home. It's not so romantic. Nobody floating in the air, no dogs biting me or anything. So I told the whole story, my whole life story right there. So, but Gopakumar had quite a more interesting story of how he came to Krishna consciousness. So here is the story of Gopakumar. Gopakumar was living, he was born in Vrindavan when he was, before he became completely Krishna conscious. And he was taking care of the cows. And that's a nice, let's say, traditional role for people in India in general, everywhere in the world. We were speaking last night to one young boy who called, you know, on the internet during the class, some of you may remember, he said, Can I have a, can you tell my parents I can have a pet, Maharaj? And I was thinking about it, I said, because you're living in an unnatural environment in the city, you want a pet. But if you're actually living in a natural environment, you'd be seeing cows all the time and petting cows, you wouldn't be thinking of taking care of a dog. And it's American culture, you take care of dogs instead of cows. It's like this morning we were taking a walk in the park, and all the Westerners were walking around with a plastic bag. I won't tell you what it was for.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was thinking, oh my God, what an unnatural environment. Because if you're taking care of the cow manure is pure. But they're carrying around the most impure thing, you know, with them in a bag. I was embarrassed for the poor people. So anyway, Gopakumar was taking care of the cows, and he ran into this older Brahmin. And this Brahmana really had a great deal of affection for all the coward boys. He would sometimes embrace them and kiss them. And one day he told Gopakumar that I am going to fulfill all your desires. So bathe in the Keshigat and I'm going to give you some special mercy. So Gopakumar did that. And then he gave him the same Gopal mantra. And Gopakumar started to chant this mantra. He didn't understand anything. So this is a fact, that if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or any bona fide name of God, there's no need of understanding in the beginning. You simply have to get people to chant. That's what Prabhupada did in New York, isn't it? He didn't give them some elevated philosophy. He just went to Tompkins Square Park and said, chant this mantra. And even though they were, in the beginning, it was a real mess in the temple, I mean, complete mess, I can't describe what was happening in 26 Second Avenue, which is like really messy. And you look at some of the videos of the dancing in the beginning, it was like... And, you know, I don't know what Prabhupada was thinking. He was thinking, oh my God, this is weird. And that was Prabhupada's compassion to actually come to an insane asylum and preach to the people in the insane asylum. And Prabhupada actually even one time went to a nudist colony to preach. And actually some of the people in the nudist colony became devotees, and one became a very prominent preacher in the Krishna conscious movement. And he was living in the hollow of a tree in the nudist colony. Can you imagine that? I mean, Prabhupada was so tolerant. I mean, one time I went to a rainbow festival, which is something like a nudist colony, to preach. And I was so freaked out, I ran out of there in 10 seconds. But Prabhupada was so tolerant and compassionate. For me, it was just like a bunch of ugly old body, no, old young bodies. And everything smelled bad, and I ran out. But Prabhupada, being so compassionate, got them to chant Hare Krishna, and some of them became great devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. So Gopakumar was given... Oh my God, I can go on all night with this. But Gopakumar was given this mantra. He didn't know what the mantra was, but he was determined to chant it because he had faith in the mantra. And as he kept chanting, he wanted to find out who the Lord of the universe was, you know, who the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went to the Ganges eventually, and he found a Brahmin worshipping a Govardhan, not a Govardhan Shila, a Shalagram Shila. And he said to the Brahmin, who is this? And the Brahmin said, this is God, the Lord of the universe. And Gopakumar was very happy, you know, he got some Charanamrita and everything like that. But then, after the Brahmin was finished worshipping the Shila, he put him in a box. And Gopakumar started crying. How could you put God and the Lord of the universe in a box? Can you imagine, you know, God, Krishna comes to you, okay, hop in a box, you know, and you close the box. But pure devotees are sometimes like that. Sanatana Goswami, he was worshiping Madan Mohan, who was hanging from a tree. and they offered him dry bread bowls. Because these are pure devotees. They have this intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then the Brahmin said, don't worry. If you really want to see a real worship of God, you go to the capital, and there they're going to be worshiping the deity in a very opulent fashion. So they had a deity with four arms of Lord Vishnu, and all the devotees were dancing. But he kept remembering his mantra, and he kept remembering Braj. He never forgot Braj or Vrindavan. He was always thinking about the simplicity in Braj. So what happens after he stayed there for some time, the king died. King of that particular province died. And Gopal Kumar, because he was chanting his mantra, because he wanted to really worship the Lord, he became the king, you know, from coward boy to king. Because Akama Sarva Kama Moksha Kama Dara Deetu Reina Bhakti Yageni Yajeta Purusham Param. That whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or desires of liberation, you should worship Krishna enthusiastically. And then Krishna will fulfill your desire. Of course, you know, if you ask for something material, it's not so intelligent. Just like the story the Prabhupada tells about the old lady who was carrying firewood on her head. She dropped it, and she was thinking it's going to be a lot of trouble putting the firewood back on my head. She started crying. Govinda, 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 Govinda. Krishna appeared and said, what can I do? And she says, put the firewood back on my head. That's like when you ask for something mundane from Krishna. When Krishna, you know, it's just insane. Because Krishna can give you yatna supersedite, happiness, you know, real happiness. What is happiness? Happiness comes from the heart, from loving exchange, not from external things. So anyway, Gopal Kumar became the king, and he just was thinking, oh my God, management headaches, GBC. You know, this is therapy for me. Anyway, so he became the king, and he had all these administrative problems, and there was all these ritualistic brahmanas. And then he heard about another place from some visiting devotees about Jagannath Puri. So he heard that in Jagannath Puri, people weren't attached to rituals, they were just spontaneous. And everyone who lives in Jagannath Puri, even the donkeys, they look like they had four arms to the residents in the heavenly planets. So he went there. And he ran, as soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, he ran to embrace Lord Jagannath, but the guards beat him. But he really wanted to serve Lord Jagannath in an intimate way. Because his position was not to worship God in a very opulent way, but to actually be very intimate with the Lord. Like we see, coward boy is very intimate. God is the buddy of the coward boys, you know. So after a while, he actually saw his guru again on the beach in Jagannath Puri, and the guru disappeared. And the guru said, keep chanting the mantra, whatever you want, whatever sankalpa you want. This is actually an important point. You should have a sankalpa, an intention when you chant. So oftentimes devotees ask me, how can you be attentive when you're chanting Hare Krishna? The answer is very simple. You have a sankalpa. Why are you chanting? Not simply to get finished with your rounds and move all your beads down. So you can get on to the real purpose of human life, you know, which is watching Bollywood movies. But the purpose, you know, why are you chanting? I mean, it may be because you want to connect with Krishna, maybe because you want to please your spiritual master, maybe because you want a potency for Sankirtan, if you're a book distributor. But in any case, you have to have some sankalpa. And sometimes people have material sankalpas. But it's better that than nothing. That keeps you focused. Like Dhruva Maharaj, what was his sankalpa? Anyone know?
He wanted a kingdom greater than his father's.
He wanted a kingdom greater than his father, his grandfather, you know, and all the way back to Lord Brahma. So he was intense, really intense, to Vrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. And then he got it. And then he said, well, that's not really what I wanted. When he became purified. So Krishna will do that to us. We come to Krishna for a variety of reasons. And ultimately, when we get Krishna, we said, well, I wasn't so interested in these other things. I just want you, Krishna. So this is important. Important point. So he went to Jagannath Puri, and his guru explained that, and he kept chanting, and eventually the king of Puri died. And he became the next king of Jagannath Puri. And he arranged for so much nice worship. And while he was in Jagannath Puri, also he was disturbed with all the management. You know, it was really, really difficult. And Lord Jagannath went to him in a dream, or came to him in a dream, and said, go to Vrindavan. This is where you actually belong. So he left Jagannath Puri. He left being the king of Jagannath Puri, Orissa. And then he went back to Vrindavan. But he was very dissatisfied, because in Vrindavan he couldn't see Krishna. Because actually it is in his aprakrita, Leela in Vrindavan. He's there, but you don't see him. Sometimes devotees make up these wild stories that say that Krishna every night dances in Sevakund. You ever heard this story before? And therefore don't go to Sevakund at night, because you may disturb his dancing or come out crazy or something like that. But Krishna in Kali Yuga doesn't appear to our eyes. And there's this whole story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where people in Vrindavan thought that Krishna was appearing, dancing on the head of the heads of the Kaliya serpent, but actually it was just a fisherman trying to attract fish with his lantern. So people come up with wild stories. But Krishna is there, but his Leela is unmanifest at this time. So Gopakumar didn't understand that. So he couldn't see Krishna Vrindavan, so he decided, let me go to Puri again. But on the way to Puri, he actually heard about Swarga, the heavenly planets, and he thought, well, in Swarga, Krishna, Vishnu is directly there, and he's there with Indra, and let me go to Swarga. So this is the Gopal mantra. He chanted the Gopal mantra, and an airplane came. Krishna. And an airplane came and took him to the heavenly planets, to Swarga. And there he saw Vishnu, Garuda, Narada Muni, etc., 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 like that. And he was enjoying seeing Vishnu there, especially Vamanadeva, who is Indra's brother, the younger brother of Indra. He enjoyed that very much. But then what happened is Indra made a mistake. He violated the chastity of some sage's wife. And Gopakumar was made Indra. Pretty interesting story, isn't it? That's why I'm not teaching this mantra right now. Because we got enough trouble, you know, Janmaishwarya, Shudeshwar, Shabir. We have enough trouble with people getting bewildered. Without giving them a mantra, we'll get them more bewilderment. So when he continued chanting, and basically, he was very happy there because he could see Lord Vishnu, but he was still feeling separation from Lord Jagannath. And as he was there, the Bhrigu Muni and the sages came, and the other demigods worshipped them. And it was explained that these sages, Bhrigu Muni and the sages, they were actually from Maharloka, they were Prajapatis. And so Gopakumar wanted to go up there to see the Lord of the Sacrifices, so he chanted his mantra, and he went up to Maharloka. It's actually an interesting voyage here. Mm-hmm. And there he saw the Lord of the Sacrifices with thousands of arms accepting sacrifices from all the different sages. He took the remnants. But he was very disappointed because the Lord of the Sacrifices disappeared and everything stopped during Lord Brahma's nighttime. So he still wanted to go to Jagannath Puri. He was still missing Jagannath Puri. And then one day while he was in Maharloka, it's interesting, then the four Kumaras came. Actually, Sanat Kumar came with the other Kumaras, and they were worshipping him. The Prajapatis were worshipping not Gopakumar. They're worshipping Sanat Kumar and the other Kumaras. And then Gopakumar got very attracted to them. And the other demigods didn't tell him who they were because they were actually envious. Because that's the problem in the heavenly planets, is envy. So Gopa Kumara was thinking, I want to go there, I want to go there. And so he went there to where the four Kumaras were, and he was not able to see the Supreme Personality of God there, because everybody there engages in meditation rather than active service, and rather than sacrifice, rather than in deity worship. So while he was there, he started to meditate. Sometimes he could see the Lord in his meditation. But while he was there, Lord Brahma visited, and Lord Brahma is from Satchaloka, and it was described to him that Lord Vishnu was always present in Satchaloka with Lord Brahma as the Mahapurusha. That means great person or great supreme personality of Godhead, with thousands of heads, thousands of arms, like that. So Gopa Kumara wanted to go to Lord Brahma's abode, so he went to Lord Brahma's abode. Is everybody following the story so far? You know, he's going from Satchaloka to Maharaloka, the Tapaloka, ultimately to Brahmaloka. And then he sees that Krishna is instructing Lord Brahma on devotional service. And Gopa Kumara really likes this place. And what happened is, one time Lord Brahma made a mistake and he touched some foam and became a great demon. Lord Brahma disappeared, and then they made Gopa Kumara Lord Brahma. That's pretty good, isn't it? And Lord Brahma liked that because he flooded the whole universe with pure devotional service. But then he even became, you know, then he was like the chairman of the GVC, not only GVC member. And he got all the headaches of the whole universe. And so many anxieties, he could not enjoy devotional service. And then he kept chanting and chanting and chanting, and he heard this whole discussion between the Shrutis and the Smritis, the different Vedic literatures, about devotional service. And eventually, he was thinking of Braj. He started to think of Braj again. And he returned to Braj, chanting his mantra, because the Mahapurush in who was being worshipped by Lord Brahma told him that all your desires will be fulfilled if you go in Vrindavan. So then he goes back to Vrindavan, chants his mantra, goes back to Vrindavan, sees his spiritual master again, and then his spiritual master disappears, and then he starts to chant the mantra, and he travels upward, crosses all the planets in the blink of an eye. He goes through the different coverings of the universe, you know, the eightfold coverings, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Each and every one is 10 times wider than the other one. So, you know, earth, and then he sees the different deities in each covering, Lord Bor in the earth portion, and Bhumi, and Aniruddha, Sankarshan, Prajuna, like that. He gets out of the material world and he goes to the covering of Prakriti, like the unmanifest stage of the three modes of material nature. And he meets Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti is the most attractive person, incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God in the female form. And he's offered by her to stay there and enjoy, and he just refuses to stay. And he goes to Mahakala, beyond the material universe, and then into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, which is actually outside of the material universes. And the effulgence starts to suck him in, like my bodies are sometimes sucked in by the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he's saved, it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, by the light or the radiant beams from the toenails of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's still very confused. He keeps chanting. He wants to see Madan Gopal, his worshipful deity. He wants to return immediately to Braj. But then, outside of this material universe, he sees people singing and dancing, and he sees someone on a bull, on a white bull with three eyes, naked, with a half moon on his forehead. Who's that? Lord Shiva. And a bone necklace, And it's interesting, the bone necklace that Lord Shiva wears is actually the bones of sages, as described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he bows down, and he thinks that Lord Shiva is the Lord of the universe, but Lord Shiva corrects him, and Lord Shiva instructs him to go to Vaikuntha. And then he sees a group of four effulgent persons, and he goes to Vaikuntha with those four persons chanting his mantra. I'm just skipping part of the story, but it's actually quite long. And then when he goes to Vaikuntha, he actually becomes a little bit confused because he thinks that all the residents of Vaikuntha are actually God, because they have this Sarup city in Vaikuntha where they look like Krishna or look like Lord Vishnu with four arms or look like Lakshmi. And he begins to address them in that particular way. And they explain to him that they're not God. So then he goes eventually and sees Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world. And he runs up to Lord Vishnu and he addresses Lord Vishnu as Gopal, which is not appropriate in the Vaikuntha planets, because in the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is worshipped in awe and reverence, not as your buddy, not as your friend. So the devotees there hold him back and say, this is not appropriate. And Lord Vishnu says to Gopakumar, I'm very fortunate to meet you after so much time. I've arranged for your spiritual birth. I have been your guru, Jayanta. But still, even in this place, in the Vaikuntha planets, he is not satisfied, because he wants to have an intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he continues to chant his mantra, and in the meantime he gets instruction from Narada Muni. And first of all, Narada Muni says, you first of all need to go to see Lord Rama. And he goes to the Ayodhya in the spiritual world, and there he sees the monkeys chanting Rama, Rama, Rama. And the monkeys grab Gopakumar's flute, and Hanuman guides him, and he becomes confused, even thinking that Bart is Rama. And Hanuman brings Gopakumar to see Sri Ram, and he's very happy to see Sri Ram. Actually, so much of the story, I'm trying to go quickly through the story. And then Sri Ram sends him to Dwarka, and there he sees Krishna in the Sudharma assembly hall, and he sees Uddhava and Krishna, and Krishna asks him about his health. Krishna is very happy to see him, and he sees all the residents of Dwarka. Then after some time, he's still not satisfied by Dwarka, and he keeps chanting his mantra, and give me a second, just use. He has some discussion with Uddhava. Uddhava instructs him to go to Vrindavan. And basically, he returns to Vrindavan. Let me just skip ahead to this. There's quite a bit of explanation here. So, oh yes, here's a very important instruction that he gets. He says, if you want to go to Vrindavan, there's several prerequisites. I have to get to this whole list of prerequisites that's required to enter into Vrindavan. Here, you have to have a strong desire. You have to overcome all the obstacles, the anartas. You have to meditate and sing about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, which is Sankirtan. You have to associate with those who have Krishna prema. You keep your prema concealed from ordinary people and ordinary devotees. You have to reside in a holy place. You have to cultivate humility. You have to think of yourself in the humble mood of being incapable and lowly. You could follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And it's described that prema and humility are the cause and effect of each other. Very important principles. And ultimately manifest symptoms of ecstasy, and it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that prema without ecstasy is like spinach without salt. or fruitless tree. And so they have, anyway, this is a whole discussion between Uddhava and Narada Muni instructing Gopakumara. So Narada advises Gopakumara to go to Goloka, go back to Goloka. And Uddhava says that Krishna himself will take you to Goloka, to Gokul. Gopakumara closes his eyes and he opens them and he arrives in Gokula. And there he engages in Sankirtan, which is actually the Yuga Dharma. And one time, while he's engaging in Sankirtan in Gokul Vrindavan, which is Vrindavan on this earth planet, Krishna comes and wipes the dust from his face. And Gopakumara tries to grab Krishna's dhoti, and Krishna runs away from him. Gopakumara faints, falls into the Jamuna River, and then he's transported by another Vaikuntha vehicle to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. And then when he arrives there, he tries to find Krishna. And no one there is able to speak to him. Everyone is very, very quiet. He's asking everybody, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And no one says anything. Why don't they say anything? Because they're experiencing the intense mood of separation from Krishna, because Krishna has gone out to the pasturing ground. This is how intense the love of the residents of Braj is. Like we hear from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagat saram govinda vidahena me. Krishna, experiencing your separation, a moment is like a yuga cycle. Not 12 years or more, as devotees of nice translators say, but like a whole yuga cycle. So the gopis, they love Krishna so much that even when their eyes blink, they become upset because they can't see Krishna for that instant. I mean, I don't even notice when my eyes blink. I don't think any of you notice. Now I notice. So the gopis, they're praying to have eyes like fish. You don't see fish eyes blink. And they are cursing Lord Brahma for making eyes that blink. That's how much they love Krishna. So Gopakumara sees all these residents of Vrindavan after he goes back, and none of them can speak because they're just like frozen, just thinking, when is Krishna coming back? When is Krishna coming back? Finally, he finds an old lady who's able to tell him when Krishna is coming back. Actually, we're going to finish the story tonight because I'm telling it quickly. And he says, look in that direction, and he sees the dust, and then he hears the flute, and everyone experiences ecstasy. But what happens is that Krishna is so happy to see Gopakumara back in the spiritual world, having realized his spiritual identity, his ultimate destination, that Krishna runs to Gopakumara and embraces him, and Krishna faints, and of course Gopakumara faints at the same time. And the gopis and everyone is upset, thinking that Gopakumara is a demon because he's hurt Krishna. You know, they think he's done something to Krishna. But actually Balaram understands and makes Gopakumara hold Krishna's head and makes Gopakumara lift Krishna up. And so Krishna embraces and kisses Gopakumara again and again, and they enter the village of Braj together, Vrindavan together. Krishna is so happy to see his devotee, and this is actually a fact, that Krishna wants us back to the spiritual world so much that he's making all these plans. He sends his devotees to get us, like Srila Prabhupada to get us. And he's just planning, when will this rascal get back to me? For all of us, he's thinking like that, because Krishna is equal to everyone. Samoham samabhuteshu avanamna ijvesha stinapriyahas, Krishna says in the Gita. I am equal to everyone. And no one is especially my friend, and no one is my enemy. And then, finally, he gets his ultimate spiritual name. He actually goes to Krishna's home, and Yashoda Mai showers him with love, and he's called Sarupa. Originally his name was Gopakumara, but his eternal spiritual name is Sarupa. And then something very interesting happens. The gopis come, and then they bathe Balaram and Krishna. And as they're bathing Krishna, Krishna throws his flute to Gopal Kumar because he's afraid the gopis are going to steal the flute. I mean, if you read the stories told by the Goswamis of Vrindavan, sometimes Radharani steals Krishna's flute. And then Radharani's so-called mother-in-law steals Jatila, steals the flute from her, from Radharani, and she's holding the flute and she's thinking this rascal will never be able to play the flute again and attract the young girls. But the interesting thing is that Brinda has this very nice monkey that works for her named Cockatoo. And she sends Cockatoo, this old female monkey, into Jatila's house to tear everything apart. And Jatila doesn't have any weapons, and she throws the flute. She throws the flute at the monkey, Cockatoo, and the monkey grabs the flute and brings it back to the gopis and ultimately gets back to Krishna. So, and then Gopal Kumar is able to witness all these wonderful exchanges happening between Krishna and the gopis and Krishna. Not the super intimate exchanges, but the exchanges between Krishna and the other cowherd boys. And he gets some laddus to eat from Krishna. And so in this way, he observes Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And then ultimately, just skipping ahead again, I should tell some more stories about these things. So he sees so many different pastimes taking place in Braj that also took place on the earth planet, but the way they are enacted is completely different in the spiritual world. For example, there's devotees who act like demons in the spiritual world, but they're not actually demons. There's a Keshi demon in the spiritual world. There's not a demon, there's a devotee acting as a Keshi demon. And instead of Krishna killing him, Krishna actually tames him and takes everybody for horseback rides around the valley. And then there's the Rishtashura, there's a bull, supposedly a bull demon, who's not a bull demon, who's a devotee, and Krishna tames him and gives him to Lord Shiva as Lord Shiva's vehicle. So many things, Kaliya story, so many different stories are there, and sometimes Krishna apparently goes to Mathura to kill Kamsa, but then he comes right back. So these things are happening even in the spiritual world, but there's no Kamsa, there's no demons, but devotees sometimes play the parts of these particular individuals. Even someone plays the part of a Krura. So all these things are witnessed by Gopal Kumar, and ultimately Gopal Kumar is ordered, he's ordered by Srimati Radharani to go back to the material world to preach to this brahmana that we talked about in the beginning of the story. And the brahmana hears the story. He doesn't become quite Krishna conscious, and Gopal Kumar, just to finish up the ecstasy, he embraces this brahmana. And the brahmana actually realizes his spiritual identity as Janasarma, a coward boy, too. And they both go back to the spiritual world, and Krishna's very happy to hear this, to see this brahmana. And they live happily ever after. So that's the first time I ever told this part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in one sitting. Because it's actually quite large. But there's actually more details of the story. We encourage you all to read this particular book because it establishes all the truths of Vaishnava philosophy in a story form written by Sanatana Goswami. So anyone have any questions? It's already 8 o'clock. Yes.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for being here in Sacramento. My question is, you said that prema and humility are the cause
and effect of each other.
Yes. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on what that actually means.
Okay. So the only way you're going to get prema is if you're truly humble. What is true humility? To understand that you're a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord in Vrindavan, because any other type of designation you have is an upadhi. Mm-hmm. What is an upadhi? An upadhi is a label you put on yourself, like you know, of course, we understand the basic upadis we have, like I am, you know, American, I am male, or I am female, or I am a certain age, or I am educated. But actually, there's more subtle upadis, like I am the controller, Ishwaroham Hambogi Siruham Balabatsuki. I am the center. You know, that's an upadi. I am the enjoyer, Bhoktaram, you know, instead of Krishna being Bhoktaram, Jagatapasam, Saravalokamaheshanam. I am everyone's friend. I'm a guru. Just like if I think I'm a guru or I'm a sannyasi, that's an upadi. That's an upadi. But if I think I'm acting as a guru to serve Krishna, to serve the servant of 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 Krishna, my name's the Gopis of Vrindavan. That's not an upadi. So humility, once I have that humility, gives me prema. So humility is the core, that sort of humility, because what is humility anyway? Humility is to really understand your position in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not humility to say that I'm most fallen, I'm like a worm in stool, like a cockroach, or, you know, whatever. That's not humility, that's just like bragging about your humility. Bragging about your, you know, your Vaishnava qualities. I'm so humble that, you know, it sometimes surprises me how humble I am. That's not humility. You know, or, oh yes, Prabhu, let me touch your feet. But actually, you know, we're just thinking, you know, I just want these blessings, you know, I'm the center of everything. So that prema, and if one has prema, naturally one will have that humility. I don't think you could separate them, because material humility is different than spiritual humility. That's why humility and prema are actually cause and effect of each other. In other words, you can't have one without the other, and one causes the other. Is that understandable? Because if you love Krishna, then you understand that you're a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. So that's humility. Okay, good question. So, any other questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have two questions. The first one would be the story you said about that simple woman who was holding a wood.
Yeah, that's Prabhupada told the story.
Yeah. Prabhuji, isn't it? That's very, I find it very sweet, like that woman called Krishna for just a simple thing, lifting a wood, rather than many would ask for much bigger resources.
Yes.
Like going to the dham and all. I find that's very, very.
It's an instructive story. You know, whether it actually happened or not is another thing. Because when we're asking Krishna for things, I mean, for example, my experience is, I mean, I'll just tell you a funny story about myself, okay? Asking Krishna for things, you know, I just had to find fault myself. So, you know, once upon a time, I don't know if I should tell the story, but anyway, once upon a time, I was thinking, boy, it would be really nice to have a better car. I didn't ask Krishna for it, but, you know, in practically every class I mentioned it. I won't mention what type of car, because it's embarrassing. You've probably heard me talk about it before, but it was embarrassing. So, all right, so I just mentioned it, you know, and it's like, you know, maybe Krishna likes me, he'll get it for me. So one day, you know, without me asking for anything, the devotees, one of my disciples calls me up and says, we'd like you to meet Hanuman. You know the story, right? Yeah, don't tell the details, right? It's embarrassing. So I come out, and there's Hanuman in the car. You know, you know, and I said, wow, that's great. So then, okay, I said, this is fantastic. Krishna's given it to me. But then I figure out that I'm always worried about it. You know, someone scratches it, then I have to arrange for a whole canopy, to, you know, garage around. And then, you know, then Then the worst thing happened. I was, one of the first times I drove it, I was going twice the speed limit. And all of a sudden I see these flashing lights behind me. My heart starts skipping a few beats. Irregular heartbeats and do you know how fast you were going? I was just trying to keep up with the traffic. And then almost lost my license. And then I had to hire a lawyer to get me off, which worked, but it was expensive. And so, you know, it's just like it's another burden. Like sometimes someone is thinking, you know, like if I become a GBC, that would be great, or temple president or something like that. And then, you know, high position. And then Krishna gives it to you, like he did gave to Gopal Kumar, isn't it? And it's just like, oh my God, I was so happy just chanting Hare Krishna as a simple, humble devotee. And now I got to worry about all these things. So even like I go on my phone and I can check to see where my car is right now on the app. So, you know, my life has become more complex. So, you know, I didn't ask for firewood on the head, obviously. But I got something, you know, anyway. So it's like that sometimes. We ask Krishna for something, not realizing that it's not going to give us that much happiness. It's going to cause us more anxiety rather than give us more happiness. I can't say it's actually given me more happiness. Anyway, I'm happy with the devotees who got it for me. I didn't have to pay for it. See, Krishna's so kind, I didn't ask for it. And the devotees bought it in their name. They're paying the insurance on it. They're paying everything else. And they just let me use it whenever I want. So it's called getting your cake and eating it too. But it's, you know, it's not... Did it actually make me happy? You know, so it's like that. Sometimes we get things, and we're really enthusiastic to get things. We ask Krishna for things. Or we just want them, and we don't ask Krishna, and Krishna gives them to us anyway. Like Gopal Kumara didn't ask to become the king of Puri. He didn't ask to become Lord Brahma. But he was given those things because he had some desire to increase the Lord's service using Krishna's energy, which is Yukta Vairagya. There's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, it caused him anxiety. And finally, he ends up as a simple, humble coward boy. And he's happy. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't use anything in Krishna's service. As part of presenting Krishna consciousness, we have to accept Krishna's energy. That's called Yukta Vairagya, not Phagu Vairagya, in order to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So, you know, I'm happy Krishna gave me that facility. Krishna, don't take it away. So, so I'm happy Krishna gave me that facility, but because I'm using it in Krishna's service in many different ways, and it's increasing my service to Krishna, or like computers. You know, I have so much electronic equipment, computer equipment, but then, you know, then it does cause some anxiety about worrying about it when it breaks. Is someone going to steal it? You know, whenever I go away, I'm thinking someone's going to steal my equipment. So we have to understand, ultimately, yes, we use these things in Krishna service. We may want them. It's not maya. It's not illusion. But it doesn't increase our happiness. The real happiness is increased by the bhakti ras. That's really the point of telling that story, the exchange of love with Krishna. And ultimately, we have to get to the point of understanding our eternal relationship with Krishna. So as we're dealing with this material world in different ways, and Prabhupada dealt with the world in so many different ways, Prabhupada was very expert, doing so many different projects, but still we take refuge of our relationship with Guru and Krishna internally. That's the real point that I was making. So, you know, so if Krishna came to me, what would I ask for? I don't know, I'd have a whole list. I'm just joking. If Krishna came before me right now, this is an interesting question. You could do that as an exercise. I'm not asking you to do that right now. But it's an interesting exercise you can do at home. Krishna appears before you right now. You have one wish, not a whole list. What would you ask him for right now? I mean, there's a really think about it deep. If you think about it deeply, it's a hard question to answer. It's not just like, well, I want to be a pure devotee. No, you don't want to be a pure devotee. That's dishonest. What would you ask him for right now? And you might ask him for something would be like that lady with the firewood on her. What did Vasudeva Dutt ask Krishna for? Or Lord Chaitanya for?
He asked him to take on the sins of all the people in the world.
So they could go back to Godhead.
Yeah, and he could stay here.
That's compassion. What did Queen Kunti ask Krishna for?
More trouble.
More trouble? Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. I don't think I'm ready for either one of those. Right? I mean, just honestly, what I would ask Krishna for? Just eternal service to Prabhupada. I mean, just honestly. That's what I would request of Krishna. And actually, that's the request. It's a similar request that Prahlad Maharaj made of Lord Nrsingadev. In addition to being to manifesting his compassion for all the suffering souls in this world, particularly his father. So that Mama Janmani Janmani Sure Bhavata Bhakti Ahita Gitwaye. And that's actually Lord Chaitanya's message. So, you know, we should aspire to be asking Krishna, have that sankalpa, let me be the servant of your servant eternally. Yes, question.
It just reminded me of the story of Kulavesha Sridhar.
Mm-hmm.
When Mahaprabhu was having the Mahaprakash Lila, he called him before him and said, I will give you anything you want. I'll give you the mystic cities. He said, I'll give you anything. I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you the mystic cities of all the wealth, anything you want. And Kulavesha Sridhar didn't want to take anything. And then finally he said, I just want you to come and try to steal the banana.
Banana, yeah.
He's been bargaining with me every day.
Yes, I just want to serve that young Brahmin boy and bargain with him every day. That's wonderful. But anyway, each of us should do that particular exercise. You know, Krishna is here. Okay. It's like the genie in Aladdin's lamp, you know? Your wish is my desire. So we have to be careful. And we should always be careful what we desire, because we may get what we desire and it may not be something that gives us happiness, maybe something that increases our anxiety in this world. So, on that happy note. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
You just mentioned that Krishna's name Govinda was given by
Indra.
So then when we see Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma is praying.
Yeah, because it's Krishna's eternal name. But sometimes it appears that Krishna's giving, like Krishna was given the Sudarshan Chakra by Agni, after Agni ate the Kandava forest. Even though the Sudarshan Chakra is part of the Lord's eternal, you know, weapons. So as far as when Krishna appeared over 5,000 years ago, that's when he got the name Govinda. But the Govinda is Krishna's eternal name. But that's it's a pastime. Govinda.
Thank you.
Govinda. So, you know, Sudarshan Chakra. So, good question. Any other questions? Yes.
Marge, I just wanted to express my gratitude to you for this wonderful book.
Oh.
I cannot even believe, you know, this is the finest thing that I've read in a really, really,
really,
really long time. Especially with empathic nature and so Krishna conscious perspective. It's just amazing.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Thank you. was hoping you could sign this for
me. I can sign it.
Maybe after.
That's what I always wanted to appreciate.
But if anyone doesn't have this book and is interested in empathic communication, this is one of the finest.
It's available on Amazon.
Right.
And I don't make a profit from it. So.
I've read books on empathic communication, but to have that perspective with Krishna consciousness is just amazing. It's been a really, really inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There's a series of courses that I've given on empathic communication. They're available on my YouTube channel.
I went through some of them.
Okay.
And then we had Sri Radhika come.
Sri Radhika came here?
No, she came to the GBC College.
The GBC College, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't as powerful as the ones that you gave.
Yeah, she is one of my students. I mean, the best student I ever had.
Right.
She's actually the best. She's a very, very nice devotee.
Right.
And she was, actually, I would say the best student of empathic communication.
Right. We worked together. I think we did the child protection team together. We did the course with Tamil from New Vrindavan in 2006 or something.
Mm.
Yeah, we've known each other for a while.
Yes.
But this is an amazing book, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Thank you. There's going to be another book coming out on empathic communication, which is going to be a series of conversations from training sessions, which is, it's not going to be as philosophical or let's say step by step as that one is, but it's going to be training sessions I've had with devotees on, interactions I've had with devotees on empathic communication. For those of you who don't know, empathic communication was,
maybe you should do a seminar next time you're here.
Oh my God. That'll kill me. So, empathic communication is based to a large extent on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and where he talks about how we all have material needs and spiritual needs, and in order to progress in Krishna consciousness, one needs to deal with material needs too. Sometimes in a fanatic situation in Krishna consciousness, or when you're real young, you join the movement, so to speak, you're taught that you have no other needs other than to please Krishna and love Krishna. But then as people get older, they figure things out, or else they go crazy. And they understand that they have physical needs, emotional needs, friendship needs, needs for play, needs for independence, and autonomy, and ultimately, you know, the spiritual need is there, but all these needs have to be dealt with, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. And I was always wondering how to apply Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings, and I came across the teachings of someone named Marshall Rosenberg, and I got trained up by him in many, some intensive sessions, like 10 or 11 day sessions with him. And he's he passed away. And I took the teachings that he had and also the information that I got from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and adapted it to empathic communication.
Yeah, there's no book out there with this Krishna
consciousness. It's unique in Krishna consciousness, yeah.
Right.
And so we have some devotees who we've trained up as leaders in empathic communication, and Sri Radhika is actually the best, better than me. They asked me to do it for the GBC College, and I asked her to do it for me. So yes, we encourage people to.
Well, you can pass it on, and then if you're lucky, we'll get it back.
It's available on Amazon.
I have more copies.
You have more copies. It's available on Amazon, and it's like I said, I have Amazon selling it for no profit, so there's like $5 on Amazon.
Right.
So
you can see the title and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll leave it here.
Yeah, you can leave it there and you see it. I mean, it doesn't cost anything at all. It's a Kindle, and if anyone doesn't want to spend any money on it, I can send them a PDF. They can email me, and I'll send them a PDF copy of the book. Because my whole idea is to distribute knowledge, not to make money from books, which is really important. Thank you. Thank you very much for your.
Thank you, Mark.
For your kind words. Okay, any other questions? Questions or comments? I know it's getting late. Yes?
So, Maharaj, I heard
Yeah, I didn't say that tonight, but I said that.
What is the reason? I mean, is that healthy competition?
Yes, because they're just trying to please Krishna more and more, and they're appreciating each other's service. It's not like envious competition. Like if I'm competing with someone, for example, if I was competing with Brajananda to play the guitar, he's much better than me. I'd have to put him down. You know, when you're competing with someone, like if you ever done, you ever play soccer or cricket? Cricket.
Yeah.
Then what do you do with the other team when you? You put them, you call them names, don't you? I remember.
presidential election.
What's that?
It's like a presidential
election. It's like a presidential election. Like, I remember playing American baseball when I was young and calling the other team, you know, just, you're useless, you're hopeless, you're a demon. You know, I didn't say demon. But calling them all sorts of, isn't it? I mean, or cricket, I'm sure it's similar to that, isn't it? Cricket or soccer, that you really have to, but in spiritual competition, oh, you're doing so nicely. Let's see if I can serve Krishna more. And if someone else could beat you, wow, that's great. You know, it's just like, you're all just trying to please Krishna. You're happy Krishna is pleased. And it's just making you enthusiastic to see someone else's advancement in Krishna consciousness, not making you envious or unhappy because someone's advanced. That's the difference. That's the transcendental competition. We did that with book distribution many years ago when Prabhupada was on the planet. Prabhupada would say that, I will go and stay in whatever temple distributes the most books. And I'll tell you a funny story. That the temple I was in charge of won. I was in charge of a temple in South America, in Caracas, Venezuela. We had a whole team of devotees there. We distributed 35,000 hardbound Bhagavad Gita's in 1 month in one city.
Wow.
In Caracas, Venezuela. And then, so we were in competition with, guess who? Radha Damodar. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Radha Damodar. So every day, we would call on the phone. That was before email or WhatsApp or anything like that. It was phones. You all remember phones. And it was the dial phones or whatever. Landline, yeah. I mean, there weren't any mobile phones at the time. And we call him up on the phone, report our score, and he was getting angrier and angrier every day. And we were just challenging, he was trying to do better. And finally, we won. And Prabhupada commented, he looked at Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he said, Tamal does not like to get defeated. But it was a friendly, it was loving competition. You know, it's not that from that day forward, Tamal didn't like me anymore. But it was, actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj appreciated it so much that later on he asked me to become GBC of Fiji. And this is right before he left this world. So, you know, there was a loving exchange. It was actually a wonderful loving exchange. Later on I went to Prabhupada and I explained to Prabhupada, I said, you know, we did 35,000 Bhagavad Gita's hardbound in 1 month, and I introduced Prabhupada to the devotee who did 10,000 of those Bhagavad Gita's, one devotee. Prabhupada's eyes opened wide, and he said, that devotee has the mercy of Krishna.
Haribo.
And I was feeling envious. Because I was in charge. You know, I was the boss. You know, I was supposed to get some mercy too, and here, you know, here's this little brahmachari. And, you know, look at me, you know, I'm temple president, George Rizon, you know, Hare Krishna Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada looked at me, and he understood what I was thinking. And he said, you all have the mercy of Krishna. But then Prabhupada really wanted to give a zinger after that. He said, but it's like the gopis, they're considered higher. The Prabhupada had an amazing sense of humor. Prabhupada basically knew in many instances what we were thinking, you know, like that. So it was very, very interesting story. But I experienced a lot of transcendental competition, and there was great love between the devotees when they were competing in book distribution. It wasn't hateful type of competition. It was actually very loving. You know, and everything was centered on Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was present, Everybody would hear Prabhupada's letters every day that Prabhupada had sent to some temple. We'd call up the other temple, hear what Prabhupada had said. He was a unifying factor for the whole Krishna consciousness movement. We want to continue with that particular mood, keeping Prabhupada as the unifying factor. Okay, I think it's late, isn't it?
Thank you, Mark.
You're driving back tonight?
I'm staying here.
Oh, that's good. That's good, so you don't have to drive back. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Silence. Okay. What do you want me to say?
My name is Govinda Priya.
Govinda Priya. That's actually funny. It's like a demand. Yeah, this book, we've actually, a lot of people have read this book. It's really nice.
It was really very simple.
Yeah, very simple,
so
to the point. One has to practice it.
I think it's a lot to those
But yeah, it takes a lot of practice. And ultimately, you want to transcend going through that whole process of observation, feelings, like that, needs, requests. You got to transcend that because it becomes too, it actually becomes too ritualistic after a while.
It's like you add to become conscious about which foot
to. Yeah, it becomes, the whole process becomes very ritualistic. You know Braja Bihari?
Yeah.
So Braja Bihari was telling me that when he was studying mediation and everything at the university, whenever he ran into someone who was studying nonviolent communication, they would drive him crazy. Because they would be asking, are you feeling this?
Open-ended questions.
Yeah, are you feeling because you have a need for this? Would you be willing to do that? So it can drive people crazy. So it's a question of internalizing.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your kind words. Where's the pen? Oh, the pen.